Stop the presses here on the 29th of May 2019. A quick footnote is a recent show I did, a couple of times I said April when it was May. When I listened to it back, I was mortified. I'll say it one more time. It's the 29th of May 2019. You get in a hurry talking like this on the radio, and sometimes you don't know your own mother's first name. It gets tricky, especially when you're burning it at both ends, as they say. And that's easy to do in the realm of alternative news, that's for sure. I just got off the air with a noted German-based TV-formatted internet show, news show, run by Alexander Benesch, a very good videographer and journalist from Germany. And I'll have something posted, I expect, to pertaining to that, including the link, soon on the republicbroadcasting.org website. So look for that within the next, say 24 hours. It'll say something like Alexander Benesch or German journalist interviews Mark Anderson on Bilderberg. It promises to be a good video, about 45 to 55 minutes long. Just got done with that. And the reason Bilderberg was the topic on that, like it is today, is that we all just learned as of yesterday morning that Bilderberg finally broke its silence after an exasperatingly long silent spree, you might say, where the date and location and attendees list and topics list was all held very close to Bilderberg's chest. They kept that secret and under wraps much longer than they normally do. Here they're meeting in Montreux, Switzerland, starting tomorrow through June 2nd, and we just found out about it yesterday. Montreux is along Lake Geneva in the western French-speaking region of Switzerland. I was there in 2010, a beautiful place. It's famous for the song Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. We all went down to Montreux on the Lake Geneva shoreline, and that's the first words of Smoke on the Water. That's the city that that well-known rock song is about. Just sort of an interesting footnote there. At any rate, the Bilderberg meeting this year is shaping up to be an interesting one, primarily, and this is the 67th meeting in 65 years. Of course, they started in 1954 in the Netherlands. Their namesake comes from the first hotel they met at, Hotel D. Bilderberg. The interesting thing is none other than Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law and top general advisor, top advisor for the White House, is there at Bilderberg. And this is the first time in recent memory, certainly probably over a much longer period of Bilderberg's history, that a person that close to the sitting president has been to a Bilderberg meeting where they actually admit that they're there. There's always been speculation that White House reps, and even deeper speculation that presidents themselves have went to Bilderberg in the past, but they would never put that on the official list that the anonymous Bilderberg Press Department always releases. But this is very interesting for that reason alone. And bearing with me just a little bit, we have some interesting people accompanying Jared Kushner there. And we'll talk about Jared Kushner himself in a minute. Probably in the second half of today's show, I'd welcome some calls, 800-313-9443, to give your take on anything to do with the Bilderberg Group or related think tanks, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR, Chatham House, which is the Royal Institute of International Affairs in the UK. Do you think they're as powerful as they used to be, more powerful, less powerful? What do you think their main functions are? Any questions you might have for me, and so on, in the second half of today's show. But in an article that's soon to appear in American Free Press, and not long after that at thetruthhound.com, some of the other people there this year, 130 were invited from 23 countries. Some of those who are also U.S. government affiliated, along with Kushner, are as follows: James H. Baker, who directs the Office of Net Assessment for the Office of Secretary of Defense. A lot of Matthews, I might note. Matthew Pottinger, the National Security Council's senior director. That's the NSC's senior director. Matthew Daniels, the new space and technology projects person for the Secretary of Defense. Matthew Turpin, yet another Matthew, director of China affairs for the National Security Council. And a miscellaneous one in the same basic mold, James O. Ellis, chairman of the Users Advisory Group of the National Space Council. Now, you'll notice all the high-tech, defense, intelligence kind of connections there. And then you look at some of the topics. There's 11 topics this year, and at least five fit into that strategic realm. And the main ones are a stable strategic order, China, that's one topic in itself, Russia, that's another topic in itself. And those topics have been on Bilderberg's roster in past years several times. Simply one word, China and Russia. The ethics of artificial intelligence, the importance of space, cyber threats, and a couple others that more or less fit into the strategic mold. The weaponization of social media being one, and what next for Europe being somewhat of another one. The rest of them are the future of capitalism and Brexit. And if I didn't mention it already, the ethics of artificial intelligence. So in order, they are a stable strategic order, what next for Europe, climate change and sustainability, let's not forget that, China, Russia, the future of capitalism, Brexit, the ethics of artificial intelligence, the weaponization of social media, the importance of space, and cyber threats. Now, let's start with the last one first. It, of course, ties into those Defense Department-related people that I just read off that are the American government contingent accompanying Kushner there. And the cyber threats thing was mentioned in a big way with a lot of emphasis by none other than John Hickenlooper, the former Colorado governor who at one time was Denver's mayor. Interestingly, he spoke to the Chicago Council on Global Affairs May 20th, and I outlined that on this show that very day. If you go back to the republicbroadcasting.org archive, excuse me, for the May 20th show, I have some audio footage of Hickenlooper addressing the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, which is the former Chicago Council on Foreign Relations. And in that, he stressed this cyber threats issue. And now that we see it on the Bilderberg list, about a week and a half after his speech that I publicized here in RBN, then cyber threats as a topic becomes all that much more important. And what he said, to recap slightly from what I reported May 20th, right when Hickenlooper made these remarks in Chicago, what he said was, above all, not only is Donald Trump paying too much attention to the border wall and not enough to cybersecurity, which might be true to a degree, I would argue based on the facts that both are pretty much of equal importance, especially with 1,600 a day being caught at our southern border, and that's just the ones that are being caught, pushing 90,000, 100,000 a month, looking at over a million for maybe the next 12 months. So you can't say that the border wall and border security are by any means trivial. But the main thing that Hickenlooper brought up at the Chicago Council thing was he wants to create a new federal office if elected president. He's running for president on the 2020 Democratic ticket. He would, if elected, create a new federal cyber czar or cyber security director or secretary office. And it's a sure bet that that's going to be a Bilderberg topic this year, even though he was not, Hickenlooper was not reinvited to Bilderberg. He may be what Jim Tucker used to tell me when we worked for AFP together. That is, I still work for it separately, but when we worked for AFP together covering Bilderberg, Tucker would often tell me that some people would be invited once, maybe no more than twice. So the Bilderberg elder group, the hardcore group, the ones that have been there a long time, the elders, the octogenarians, whatever, so they can get a read, get a feel for this newcomer, this freshman, and decide what use they might be, decide how they might fit in for the future. Well, whether it's a direct causation of having attended Bilderberg last year in Italy or not, Hickenlooper came out of last year's Bilderberg meeting wanting to be president, having a very strong foreign policy that he discussed at that Chicago speech that I mentioned, and especially this cyber threats issue. And so that's the importance and the relevance of cyber threats being on the Bilderberg agenda this year. Now, in terms of Russia, Hickenlooper, of course, mentioned that unequivocally and without any doubt, Russia must have interfered in the 2016 U.S. elections, and that Trump is being too cozy with Russia. And with Russia appearing on the Bilderberg list now, it's clear, especially when you consider the past and the present and the people that are there, that there's this continued belief and continued discussion being based on this notion that Russia, simply by publishing things in cyberspace, simply by publishing things in social media, had this tectonic major shift, major effect on the U.S. elections. Anybody, ladies and gentlemen, publishing anything anywhere, including mainstream mass media cartel journalists, are trying to affect the outcome of elections in one way or another, to one degree or another. So to say that what Russia posts online is any different, qualitatively or quantitatively, both qualitatively and quantitatively, excuse me, is a pretty specious, a pretty weak argument. All journalistic and informational things online or in hard copy about elections, about politicians, are in one way or another, it can't be overstated, trying to affect or, dare we say, meddle in the electoral outcome. The only way to truly affect an election is to mess with the voter rolls online, the actual database of registered voters, and or to mess with the actual vote itself, the vote count. And we've talked about how that's really done. America needs no help in doing that. And we have our electronic voting machines that Dr. Laura Presley has been on the show talking about as a guest host and as a guest. That's where the rubber meets the road. If you're going to have election meddling, it's through robots that count the vote. And sure enough, artificial intelligence or some variation on that has been on the Bilderberg list just about every year for the last few years. And so we see how that's stacking up. Now, it's interesting to note, as we get within about 5 minutes, 6 minutes of the first break here, that the roster here, not just the topics, more could be said about the topics as today's show goes on, but the roster here, besides those I read, Jared Kushner and the team that's connected to the Office of the Secretary of Defense, it's interesting across the board. We have Andrew Adonis, a member of the British House of Lords. He's there as Bilderberg discusses Brexit. Of course, another big thing that happened right before Bilderberg this year is the stepping down of British Prime Minister Theresa May, who the UKcolumn.org correctly describes as having botched Brexit, pretty much deliberately putting out that false idea that she did all she could very valiantly and very bravely, and the forces of politics and all the corruption was simply too much for her. As the UKcolumn.org points out, and they're just about alone in saying this, along with myself, in a sort of secondary matter, as they point out, how can Britain leave the European Union that Bilderberg helped create starting in the 1950s and creating all the phases that led to the EU? How can Britain have a Brexit, a British exit from the EU, if they are an integral part of the new European army, which they are? The answer is they can't. there's no way that you could have an actual secession or exit by Britain from the European Union if Britain remains entangled and an integral part of the new European army that no one, not even Nigel Farage of the Brexit Party of all things, not even he will discuss this. And so Bilderberg is part of a network. You have the Trilateral Commission, you have the CFR, you have all these things, Chatham House, the Chicago Council that I often talk about. And these things going on and the way these issues develop transcend and are broader and deeper than just the individual topics, but they also tie into the individual topics of Bilderberg. So you see the bigger picture here. Now, some other ones. In a broad sweeping manner, we have Jose Manuel Barroso, the chairman of Goldman Sachs. We also have a separate person there this year at Bilderberg who's the CEO of Goldman Sachs. So we have the top two Goldman Sachs people there. The governor of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, he's originally a Canadian. He's listed in there. And what's interesting there, what we have to keep in mind is he's representing at Bilderberg the Bank of England, which is the City of London. As many RBN listeners, most RBN listeners know, the City of London is a separate financial principality, separate from London proper and from England and the UK proper. So Mark Carney being there means really that the City of London, in a at least indirect, if not pretty direct fashion, is being represented. And that ties into an important thing to keep in mind about Bilderberg as I go through the list of topics and attendees, that it's not just who's there representing NATO or the Bank of England, it's who they represent, the organizational representation. So if it wasn't Mark Carney, it'd be another Bank of England person. If it wasn't Jens Stoltenberg there this year in Switzerland representing NATO at Bilderberg, it'd be another NATO head, like it was Anders Fogh Rasmussen before him, who was last at Bilderberg in 2014 in Denmark, and so on and so forth. It's the organizations represented, not just who's there to represent those organizations. Other ones that are very important this year, Audrey Azoulay, the Director General of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, the Global School Board, that's what UNESCO is. And we have the president of the World Economic Forum as well. And you see that a lot this year, ladies and gentlemen, at Bilderberg. That president is Børge Brende of Norway, the current president of the World Economic Forum. A lot of times at Bilderberg, you'll see lieutenants and vice presidents and deputies and undersecretary of this, undersecretary of that. This year, you're seeing a lot of the top dogs, as well as someone high up, one of the highest ranking people from the vaunted London School of Economics. So a very interesting thing. Another interesting thing, Etienne Davignon, who used to be head of the Bilderberg Steering Committee, that's been taken over by a younger Frenchman, Henri de Castries. He's the current Bilderberg Steering Committee. That's the 30-member committee that decides who to invite and where to meet and all the details, what topics to discuss. Davignon, who used to have De Castries' position, has returned in a Minister of State representing Belgium position at the 2019 Bilderberg, starting tomorrow through June 2nd at Montreux, Switzerland, at a very fancy hotel. We'll talk about the location here in a few minutes. As noted, I'm taking calls, especially in the second half of the show, about this and related topics, 800-313-9443. Looking through this list, some of the returnees, the people that are there pretty much every year, Vernon E. Jordan, he happens to be a black politico from America, senior managing director of Lazard Flairies and Company, LLC, closely affiliated with the Clintons, Alex Karp, a techie with Pentagon connections from Palantir Technologies. We'll talk about these and others and your calls later, if you so choose, after these messages. Talk, the simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity, strangers.
charge the common ground.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Returning to the show, your host Mark Anderson here on Stop the Presses, 29 May 2019, and we're talking about mainly Bilderberg today. They're meeting officially starting tomorrow through June 2nd in Montreux, Switzerland, at a very fancy hotel. We can just call it fancy hotel. It's probably not even five star. It's probably like a 18 star hotel. The beds probably float and elevate in midair. They probably have geisha girls that stand on the men's backs, these slight gals that you see in the old Bond movies. Who knows what luxuries and perversities they might enjoy, right? Okay, I'm speculating, but hey, it's a little bit of fun. At any rate, going back to the list of names and topics, and what I want to do for any of those that might want to call in the second half of the show, those so inclined, is explore the question, especially those that might have comments or questions or concerns about Jared Kushner and other people from the Trump administration being there. Is the Trump administration making a mistake? Are they in too deep with Bilderberg? Or is Jared Kushner there to be the eyes and ears for the White House to maybe keep an eye on Bilderberg? Some will argue that, hey, it's invitation only. If they didn't want the White House people there, they wouldn't invite them. But we know in the world of real politics, it goes both ways. So it could very well be that the White House sent a feeler out a couple of months ago, several months ago, and said, hey, we want in. We want to be included. And then they were invited. So you can't really make the argument that well, they only invited Jared Kushner's there only because he was invited. Therefore, he was invited because they knew he'd be a friend of Bilderberg and he'd fit right into the good old club. But it could very well be another nuance there or another angle. And of course, it's hard to know with utter and total rock-hard, ironclad certainty, which it is. And so I put that out there for any would-be callers, which is this a way for the White House to monitor Bilderberg and have a better idea what's going on and maybe curb some of their excesses? Or is the White House in too deep with this globalist cabal? An interesting question, a very divergent kind of question. At any rate, while we ponder that, the list goes on, and it's interesting as you look through it, the mix of people. We have a lot of intelligence people, Lars Findsen, F-I-N-D-S-E-N, Lars Findsen of Denmark, the Danish Defense Intelligence Service Director. We have a number of journalists. It's interesting to point out that David E. Sanger, perhaps one of the chief propagandists of them all at the New York Times, is there to take part and participate in Bilderberg and not report on it. And he's the national security correspondent for the New York Times. So his presence there, along with the Office of the Department of Defense, a techie and policy advisors, and Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law and chief advisor, makes for an interesting mix, meaning the New York Times is going to feign or act like it's simply ignoring Bilderberg and has no real way of getting the news when, in fact, one of their top veteran correspondents is there. The big question, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be answered within the next 24 to 48 hours is this. Will the presence of Jared Kushner and the other people affiliated with the U.S. federal government, will the presence of them at Bilderberg, at least directly or by default or indirectly, whatever, will it generate more publicity about the Bilderberg meeting than would otherwise be the case? In other words, the dominant media, the mass media cartel, so hostile toward the Trump administration, although the Trump administration has its faults, the good, the bad, the ugly, warts and all, I'm not saying they're perfect, I don't wear rose-colored glasses, but with the media so hostile toward Trump, will this, with Trump's son-in-law there, open up the gates to more publicity mainstream about Bilderberg than would otherwise be the case? And here's a real stretch. Could it be that part of Trump's strategy could be to have people there to draw or attract more publicity about Bilderberg than would normally be the case? I know that's going to sound like a stretch in some people's minds, but in the world of real politic and what goes on behind the scenes, none of that is far-fetched by any means. So it's an interesting thing to ponder, to see what the real reality is, the real situation that is, and how these things are really crunching out under the floorboards behind the curtain. Going on through the list, a returnee, often there, Reid Hoffman from the USA, co-founder of LinkedIn, a partner with Greylock Partners, and Jared Kushner, as I mentioned, another frequent Bilderberger, Henry R. Kravis, who was just featured on the front of Forbes magazine, co-chairman and co-CEO, Kohlberg, Kravis, Roberts & Company. Moving on, this one I found rather disappointing for a personal reason, although, again, you don't always know the real reason that they're there, but Yeli Maurer, a Swiss gentleman that I met in Switzerland in 2010, at that time, he was affiliated with the Populist Nationalist People's Party of Switzerland. He probably still is. Well, he was on the Federal Council, which is the rotating presidency of the Swiss Confederation. He's there as president of Switzerland at Bilderberg this year, and I find that a little puzzling. We'll be back with more after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Presses here on the 29th of May, 2019. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming to you live. I expect to be live on Friday, although some travel or other activities are possible. Still doing a lot of work covering the border here in South Texas. At any rate, continuing with the on-the-spot coverage of the Bilderberg meeting, look for things to be posted, not just at AmericanFreePress.net, but also at thetruthhound.com, as well as republicbroadcasting.org in the not too distant future. Now we have a caller, I believe, Tom from Pennsylvania. You out there, Tom?
I am here. I'm calling from the city of brotherly love, if you can believe that.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen, right? With these liberal mayors in there, they're all getting twisted out of proportion. But what's on your mind, Tom? What's going on?
Oh, they're nuts in Philly. I don't go down there unless I'm armed. you made a comment about you thought that why Switzerland was invited to the Bilderberg meeting. It's because they want Switzerland to disarm like the rest of the EU. They want the Switzerland to follow the same rule gun laws as the EU. And as we all know, or at least I think we all know, that Switzerland, you know, there's 10 guns in every home. Hopefully they'll stay that way, just like the United States is mostly. So
that's an interesting point. They've met in Switzerland, and I won't look it up, since the inception of Bilderberg in 1954, probably something like 6 to 7 times. And that's always been one of those issues kind of hanging in the background, not front and center, not a lot of sizzle to it, but just the 300-pound gorilla, that's always a possibility. And it's funny you should say, I mean, Yeli Maurer, his first name is spelled U-E-L-I, Maurer, M-A-U-R-E-R. I met him, at the time, he was affiliated with the defense, the defense apparatus of Switzerland, and the People's Party, a populist nationalist party in Switzerland. And I'm going to look this up. I believe he still has that defense affiliation, but now he's president. The way it works in Switzerland, no, now he's federal counselor of finance. He used to be defense. The way it works in Switzerland, real briefly, is there's a rotating presidency. There's a federal council of 7 or 8 members. Every year or two, someone else on the federal council serves as president. They're not elected. The elected parliament selects the rotating federal council, and each federal council member serves a year as president in a rotating fashion. Anyway, he was defense minister then, or counselor, and with the Nationalist People's Party, fully in favor of gun rights, he's written articles, or he's been written about both ways in a Swiss journal called Current Concerns. And from all indications, he's pro-gun. But when I see him now at Bilderberg, and when I met him back in 2010, he didn't seem like the kind of person that would even set foot in Bilderberg. But now he's there. Again, you have to wonder, maybe he feels it's perfunctory and he ought to be there because it's in his country. And but you wonder, you make a good point, Tom. You wonder if they're trying to get Switzerland to liberalize, in the wrong meaning of the word liberalize, and tone down what have been the one of the greatest armed defense policies in all of the world, probably in the history of the nation state. When I was in Switzerland, there was a chaperone, not an official one, but a guy that showed me around. He said, "See that house over there?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "It's not a house, it's an armory." And all around these different towns in Switzerland, people have the weapons in their own homes, and then what looks like a regular home is actually an armory where the citizens can go in that neighborhood and get even more weapons. So, yeah, in terms of the universal militia within a nation state, Switzerland is pretty much second to none. The U.S. has more weapons, but Switzerland has arguably a more organized way of using them for national defense.
Yep, I agree wholeheartedly. Get back to another point. Is it just Jared that's going there, or is Trump going there too?
Well, I forgot to mention, I'm glad you asked the question. The rumors are in some of the Swiss press and elsewhere that the Secretary of State, the former short-term CIA chief, Mike Pompeo, might go there as well, but he's not on the official list. Jared Kushner is. And then I mentioned those Pentagon wonks that are there that do advisory stuff for the Office of the Secretary of Defense, and they're from the Trump administration as well. But that's how it's stacking up. The total of people from the U.S. federal government of the Trump administration is probably like 7 total.
Yeah, I bet you if Trump himself had went there, I bet you we would find out real fast just how quiet the Bilderberger can keep their little secret head chopping society in, you know, out of the public limelight, because we know how much everybody hates Trump, and if he was to go there and we didn't hear a peep, we'd know just exactly what kind of noose they have around the mainstream media's neck.
Yeah, mainstream media, Washington Post, New York Times, Economist. I named all the reporter traitors that are there breaking bread but not breaking news. And I'll ask the question to you, Tom, then we have another caller or two. Is Jared Kushner's presence there a good thing, a bad thing? Does it draw more attention to Bilderberg directly or indirectly and result in more good than bad? Or does it mean Trump is surrendering to the deep state? Somewhere in between, how do you see it?
Well, we don't know what Jared's affiliations were prior to, you know, Trump becoming president. So, you know, that's kind of a a dark window. We don't know what he was doing, you know, at least I don't know. I've never heard anything about him before the Trump presidency, so I don't know what he's had his fingers into all his life, but if they're inviting him, they're looking for some kind of influence through him. Now, again, whether they report on it or not, I don't think they'll report on it. I really don't think they will, because they don't want the Bilderberger organization made public as any more than it already is. Thank you, AJ. But they also, if they are trying to get influence through him, they sure don't want to make that public either. So,
that's a good point.
Plane cost.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, it'd be one thing if there was more publicity than usual simply because Kushner was there. It'd be quite another if the publicity was something to the effect of not only was Kushner there, but he's going to carry out this or that initiative because of being there, where we establish a causal link. So, yeah, that would be more newsworthy, maybe more prone to being buried or kept under wraps. But certainly if that got out, that would be a hotter item than Kushner's mere presence there. And it's an open question, perhaps, who will influence whom? Will the White House go in there and say, hey, you guys, you got to look at national interests a little more. You got to be, you know, straightening up your program a little bit. Or will it be the other way around where the Bilderberg cabal exercises more influence than Kushner and crew managed to do? But I appreciate the call, Tom.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, I know everybody out there, we're all in a tight spot, that the finances are tough and all that, but John and I have worked out a way for people to be able to help support RBN without taking a nickel out of their pocket, although we would appreciate that also. Anyone that can afford to send a few bucks in, you know, here and there, that would also be great. But if you go to the RBN website and you go right below the main news page, there's a big window there for I Want Free Power. Now, the states that we're in, we can help anyone who's living in those states reduce their electricity bill. They will save money, absolutely, no contracts, no fees. And they will also help support RBN because RBN will get a commission on every customer. So if everybody can take a look at that and send me a message, I will get back to them and help them out and let them know what we can do. And it would be just a great way to support RBN. And without, you know, for those people that are just desperately broke, you can save money on your electricity bill and you'll support RBN at the same time. So John would greatly appreciate it. I would appreciate it. I'm sure all the hosts and all the listeners, anybody that would take a look at that for us, we would greatly appreciate it. And thank you for your service for RBN yourself.
Okay, thanks for calling, and thanks for adding that in. Yes, we got to keep funding what we're doing to keep alternative media out there. Okay, moving on in the order received, I have to keep the calls kind of short, gentlemen, in order to get them all in. Lark from Texas is next.
Hi, Mark. Just a quick side note regarding your guest, Laura Presley. Following her lead, I did write a letter to Representative Stephanie Click to support what she's doing regarding the electronic voting machines, etc.
Yes, good.
This is a woman who went to the same high school as my brother-in-law.
Oh, wow.
And
what do you know?
She also attended, she went to TCU, as did my parents go to TCU. So anyway, I just want you to know I entitled it Paper Ballots, Election Integrity, and Techno-Slavery. But I don't think I'm ever going to hear a word from this woman.
I hate to report that she did not concur on the Senate bill. And before the Texas legislature gaveled out for this season, they're done with this session. The House version of that bill died. She did not concur with the Senate version. So we do not have a Texas statewide verifiable paper trail for all 254 counties, which was the ultimate intent. It did not happen, and we still have the mixed bag where some counties have it, but a number of the more populous, high population counties do not. And so Texas is still in quite the pickle, you might say. That's the result. I'll just mention that briefly.
Well, you know, and of course, this harkens back to the Club of Rome white papers from the late 60s and early 70s. You know, these people wanted to disenfranchise the commoners born in America. And this has been the plan all along. The fact
sure.
that you can't have any trust in the integrity of the voting process is all the proof you need, because they don't want the people to think that they've got to say so in any damn thing. Okay, so not only are they going to kill the Republic, which I think was killed a long time ago, but they also want to kill democracy, because the little people just don't, I mean, they don't count. And regarding these Bilderberger people, I mean, you just read off a whole litany of criminals, people who are careerists, credentialists, who have, I mean, they have no problem thinking that they're a part of the bigger people, you know, that's going to put it upon us little people. And just finally, I'll just put this to you. Was there any mention of the word precariat? Precariot at this recent Bilderberger conference, Mark?
Not yet. I'll have to see if that's going to be used again. That came up a few years back, I recall. Without looking up which year, that word has come from the lips of Bilderberg. They have used that word in some of their general literature and some of their references, but as a specific thing, I don't believe it's on there. I'm going to double check something, but keep on going. What is precariat? Let's remind the listeners live and on the archive. What is that?
That is a person who finds himself in a precarious way. It defines a person who is chronically unemployed or underemployed. Also, a person who is a wage slave when they are employed and they own no property as a proletariat. And, of course, this is all part and parcel of what they intend to do, because they're trying to turn the American people into a nation of interlopers, trespassers, squatters, and beggars, a la your recent conversations with Ron Avery, who I also support. But
precariat was actually a Bilderberg topic. And if memory serves, I'm looking it up real quick. I have to get to a couple other callers, but
it's the one. The one in America on the East Coast.
I believe it was also discussed in Dresden, Germany, in 2016. I'm looking it up. A June 8th, 2016 article, which is the year they met in Dresden, they had a topic called the precariat. So it hasn't just been in their literature. It's been on at least one or more of their topics list. Yes, and I'm glad you defined it, because it's a rather obscure term. So thanks.
And this is a word which describes, I might add in conclusion, at least one-third, if not fully one-half, of all working-age Americans today.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, the penury and one foot on the banana peel at almost all times is front and center. People have a very precarious existence, and that, of course, is a number of factors that feed into it. But the basic climate and framework and monopoly of credit and improper monetary arrangements that make that possible is deliberate. So it's many factors, but the basic framework is no doubt deliberate. I appreciate the call, Lark. We have to move on. Thanks a lot. We have to move on in the order received. Fred from Michigan.
Yeah, Mark. Pursuant to the hidden origins of the Bank of England, Stephen Goodson from South Africa, whom I think is untimely deceased. He was one of the sources cited in that stellar presentation, Notre Dame, Sinister Origins, Gothic Cathedrals, in which this brilliant Anglo-Saxon linguist, historian, journalist lady cited the Franco-Norman invasion of 1066 with the Battle of Hastings, where they slaughtered over 100,000 Northumbrian Anglo-Saxon people. And then William the Bastard, the Franco-Norman invader, who seized the power and instituted a usury-based Talmudic Kabbalah banking system, and it has prevailed ever since. And she did cite the written origin of the Bank of England at the Barnes Review, and I'm pretty sure the Barnes Review is associated with American Free Press. And now, to empower the people of the audience on RBN relative to property taxes, et cetera, utility bills, there's three fellows that are absolutely brilliant on YouTube. One is High Frequency Radio. That's the YouTube channel, High Frequency Radio. And he goes back to the manufactured bankruptcy of 33 and the Federal Reserve Act of 13. And it's called UCC Tyranny, UCC Tyranny, How to Free Yourself. Then there's TJ, a Christian fella, TJ, about the common law legal remedy right of subrogation. And subrogation addresses the fact that pursuant to the certificate of live birth and the establishment of the Sesti Qui Vi Trust, we all have a Sesti Qui Vi Trust, and all of the bonds that have been created based on the surety that was established with the certificate of live birth, we can access that. And we can access it to discharge utility bills, property taxes. It's called the right of subrogation. It's TJ, that's his name, YouTube channel, TJ. And then there's Old Dog New Tricks. Old Dog New Tricks. This dude's absolutely brilliant. And it's called, the first one that you should see is called Plausible Deniability, Video 42. Okay? I mean, they lay it all out, man. They've got it perfected. It's called the Security Agreement Indemnity Bond Financing Statement. That establishes in the record at all levels that we are now in control. We are the secured party holder in due course of our legal trust estate, which is the Sesti Qui Vi. It's all there, man. It's all there. It's just been deliberately secreted from us. And the Bar Esquire attorneys, whose allegiance is to the Bank of England, and the Bar, which was created by the Bank of England, they don't care about us. We're just their sheeple slave peasant subjects, man. I'm tired of this. So we finally have the blueprint to, you know, correct the record and establish ourselves as the creditors forevermore rather than being the debtor's slaves, okay? That's all I got to say.
That's very interesting. You brought it to a good conclusion there. I've seen, I think, one of those, maybe two, or something about them in written form. I'm going to watch them all. Yeah, I'll re-listen to the broadcast and write down the names. Maybe leave your number with the board operator, if you would, Fred. I happen to be from Michigan myself, and I'm going to Michigan before long. Leave your number with the board operator. I'll have the board operator get your number. She'll hear me. And moving on to the last caller today, thanks a lot, Fred, for a very comprehensive set of sources that we can all use and look at and make up our own minds. We also have, if he's still hanging on, Nick from Arizona. You still there, Nick? Did Nick hang on?
Information and research over the past 45 years has been that it's the Jewish lobby who is in favor of gun control. They formed the conference, the American Jewish Congress, the World Jewish Congress, the Jewish Defense League, the Bilderbergers, which you are now talking about, the Southern Poverty and Law, which spies on every American in the United States. They did in Pastor, they tried to do in Pastor Pete Peters, was it LaPorte Church of Christ in Colorado. They were responsible for the raid on Randy Weaver, where they murdered his son Samuel, the dog Striker and his wife Vicky. Then they were also responsible for the raid at Waco, Texas. They were even a raid that they did here in Tucson, where they killed a copper miner that broke into his house over gun control and supposedly guns and the drugs. They shot him 80 times and they hit him 70 times with the SWAT team headed by Sheriff Dupnik of Tucson. They formed the Tucson Airport Authority, which is also run by that lobby, where they have members in there. They got the lease for $1 a year, and they charged $380 for one space when our Constitution says you're not allowed to give to one group of persons a privilege over another unless they give it to every other person that same privilege. Then they formed the, I think I mentioned the World Jewish Congress, American Jewish Congress. They're involved with the Federal Reserve Bank System, which loans no money, but yet exchange life forfeiture property in exchange for no life forfeiture loans, which actually allows them to acquire property without paying for it.
That's how the banking works. Hey, we're coming down pretty much to the end of the show, Nick. We're going to be hearing the music in about a minute. What is your what is your best source of information for what you're describing?
We've got to first of all, every member of in Congress and Senate should be charged with treason for forming the Federal Reserve Bank System, and every organization like the Trilateral Commission, the Conference on Foreign Relations, these are all subversive. All of these lobbies that they've formed, they're tax exempt, they're subversive. And the George Washington, as well as Benjamin Franklin, said, if you do not exclude these people, in less than 200 years, you're not going to have your country, and your children are going to curse you in your grave. And they said, these suits must be filed against every nine-robed whores on the Supreme Court. Every congressman, every senator has to be charged today and retroactively back to Woodrow Wilson for establishing the Federal Reserve Bank System. There's all in treason to the United States. Even Abraham Lincoln, it was in treason against the Constitution, because what he would have had it done in order to free the slaves, he would have had to buy them back and then brought them back to Africa. But by the fact that he created a war over it, he stole private property without compensation.
So, we're going to have to wind it up there, Nick. I appreciate your input. Thanks for listening, everybody. Look for thetruthhound.com, AmericanFreePress.net, and other things at republicbroadcasting.org about updates on the Bilderbergers meeting this year in Switzerland and beyond. We'll see you next time on Stop the Presses.
Bye-bye.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.